Blog Talk Radio.
We got James Brown there. All right. Projected winner in Michigan, if you will. Mitt Romney, projected winner in Kansas, Texas, and Louisiana, and Alabama, and Nebraska.
Yes, and I'd like to welcome everybody to this special episode, Election 2012 episode of On Point, the results show. In Studio B, we have Mr. Ronald A. Edwards, and I'm Don Allen, and we're here tonight to kind of walk you through what's been happening in the elections today, on November 6, 2012. Well, Mr. Edwards, how does it look on your side of the studio?
I think that there is trouble for Mitt Romney. We've been in contact during the day with our observers, quote-unquote monitors, in Ohio. They had predicted to me last night that canvassing in Hamilton County and throughout southern Ohio indicated that President Barack Obama was running much stronger than what was being alleged by the mainstream media. The votes at this point seem to indicate that, Mr. Allen. Looks like the president up with maybe better than 200 and some thousand votes on Mitt Romney. Of course, everything is still obviously touch and go. Just looking at Pennsylvania, by the way, they are maintaining it's too early, but get this, 54% Obama, 43% Mitt Romney in Pennsylvania. That's interesting. That is really interesting. Florida, Don, by the way, Florida now being called too close to call.
Wow. And I've got some data here from CNN saying that a vote by gender, 45% males, 53% females, the women, 54%. 54% women, 45% male. Voting by age is a breakdown. You can go to CNN.com and see all that information. But, Edwards, you had just talked about, if I'm not mistaken, Pennsylvania.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I'm actually showing here, they just updated the ticker tape in the AP feed, and I'm looking at 54.3% for Obama and 41.8%. And that's only 1.3% of the polls that are closed that are reported right now. So that's,
yes,
that's,
sir. Let me also do from this end, the electoral vote, 114 for Obama, 153 for Mitt Romney. As of this particular hour, the governor, President Obama has apparently been conceded the state of New Mexico. So that is interesting. Things are starting to move along. By the way, no significant change in the contest in the House. It appears that maybe three or four seats may have been picked up by the Democrats at this point. 241 Republicans, 194 Democrats, according to our monitors here in Studio B. Projection is the House of Representatives of Republicans will maintain control, if you will. Now, that's the thing. Arkansas being declared as Mitt Romney is the winner. Connecticut projecting President Barack Obama as the winner there. As we said again, the Electoral College, 114 to 153. Wisconsin, by the way, Don, our neighbor to the east, being called too early to call. Now, you have to remember, Mitt Romney's running mate is a native son of Wisconsin, so it's kind of interesting that Paul Ryan wasn't able to just overwhelm President Barack Obama in his home state, him being Paul Ryan's home state of Wisconsin. Don't you find that rather interesting?
I find that very interesting. And, with Governor Walker there and the shenanigans he's pulled over the last year, you know, you'd think that, Ryan and Romney would show a little bit stronger standing in Wisconsin, but not in this case, not in this case at all.
Let me say something else, Don. We're cutting in back and forth on each other. I find it interesting that with that so-called Atlanta connection, a lot of wolfing coming out of Atlanta, but I see Romney is projected as the winner in Georgia.
Okay.
Okay.
And I am looking here right now. I am showing North Carolina, Romney 50%, Obama 49.2%, but that's only 34.1% of the polls reporting at this point at 8:05 Central Standard Time.
Okay. So, all right, then.
And I'd like to give our numbers out.
Yes, please do, Mr. Allen.
Our phone lines are open. You can call in at either 347-426-3904 or toll free at 1-877-537-2878. Again, that number, that toll free number, which is the most convenient and easy to learn, is 877-537-2878. And our phone lines are open if you'd like to discuss what you experienced. And I'd like to let everybody know we're broadcasting live from Studios A and B in the beautiful Apple Studio in downtown Minneapolis, overlooking North Minneapolis.
All right. I do find it interesting, Don, that it would appear that Mitt Romney is 117 electoral votes away from winning. I find that to be rather interesting. Of course, keep in mind now the West is not in. Big electoral votes, of course, out of California. And then you also have Oregon, Washington State, and you have Nevada. You know, Nevada has been hotly contested. At one point, a couple months ago, it was because of the housing collapse there in Nevada that Nevada was going to be hands down for the governor, if you will. We are not sure. Mississippi, Mitt Romney, the winner in Mississippi, or projected winner. I'm sorry.
Yes. I am. You know what? I am sitting here, Mr.
Don, if I could, very quickly, New Jersey. Barack Obama, 57%. Mitt Romney, 42%.
Oh, wow.
Of course, it's not, you know. Yeah, we have about half of the precincts are thereabouts, but that's interesting. By the way, Senator Bob Mendez, the projected winner in New Jersey, Democrats holding that Senate seat. I'm sorry, Ms. Downey. Oops, the president has creeped up 153-128. Is that what your tickers are showing? Ticker tapes
yes,
are showing.
Yes, I am looking at, actually, I'm over here on the computer looking on several different websites, Political, Huffington Post, CNN, and the numbers are about averaging out for what you are saying. They're a little bit behind because you'll have to go in and update them, but they're not that far behind. So, like, for instance, Political, it's showing Obama has 93 of the electoral votes and Romney has 87.
Oh, they're way off. 126, Obama, yeah. 153, Romney. We're getting our information from the subscriber service to the satellite entity that we are involved with, which we're not at liberty to discuss. Mr. Allen made certain arrangements, and we were able to get access to a satellite, if you will. That is allowing us to do almost an up second count, if you will. Ohio, president is 196,000 up in Ohio. And just 2 days ago, they were saying that that Romney was too close to call and that Romney was the man. Your call on Pennsylvania, satellite information just coming in, 55% president, 43% Romney. You're absolutely correct. That was not supposed to be happening in Pennsylvania against the political franchise of Romney. And understanding that the polls have closed in the East. Am I correct, Mr. Allen? Your ticker tape showing that?
Yes, yes. The polls on the East Coast have closed.
Okay.
And I'm amazed with all this technology, Mr. Edwards, that I am looking here at several different websites in Studio A, and I am showing Barack Obama, President Obama, with 109 electoral votes with 12 million popular votes, and Mitt Romney with 135 electoral votes with 13 million of the popular votes. And it, like you said, it's really early. And over here, I'm looking at Illinois. He took Illinois 61.8%.
Right.
And then Romney 30.4%. And I'm looking up here at Michigan. Obama, we can project Obama taking Michigan. He's at 52.5% with 1.4% reporting. And New York, It's really strange here. We don't have any numbers and zero, but they catch her by his name already, and that's incredible. And Vermont, Obama took Vermont, or is expected to take Vermont with 23.6 reporting, with a 67.1, which is approximately 52,000 of the votes. And also Maine, I have Obama 54.3, with 1.3 of the precincts reporting at this point.
Okay. Those are probably three or four of the most independent politically thinking states in the United States, that area up there, the far so-called north, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and even Massachusetts, if you will. Additional satellite information coming in on the map. The boys at the at the networks are trying to explain the map, because actually some of the red has not developed as they thought that it would. And I got to tell you, you keep looking at Florida, and I tell you, it's gotten very, very tight. By the way, information came into us early this afternoon. We discussed it with production staff. Some kind of serious investigation going on. Apparently, boxes of absentee ballots found in the alley, and it appears it may have been Orlando. Absentee ballots found in an alley there, dumped, if you will. Somebody uncovered it. Could be possible criminal investigation and et cetera. President in Ohio, Don, latest, 55%, 44%. And his numerical it continues to be very, very Hamilton County, Cincinnati, strong black, 57-42. Boy, that is becoming key. He's about 16,000 up, if you will, on Mitt Romney as we speak. That was considered crucial because the Republicans were saying Negroes would not get out and turn out to vote in Hamilton County.
Yes, and Ms. Harris, I invited several guests to call in tonight, and hopefully I'm getting in contact here with a couple of them via the chat room. And the comedian Karen J. Larson is going to call in and kind of give us a swing on what she thinks about this election cycle, and that should be pretty exciting. She writes, I'm about to eat some dinner first, and then I will call in. Is that cool? Well, if you can hear me, because I see you there, yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Real good. 57-42, Ohio. To me, that's not good for the Romney forces. They were expecting projections much closer, and that would have an influence on the vote in the West, possibility of, you know, shrinking the numbers as it pertains to the popular vote, possibly pulling off an upset in Oregon and even Washington. So it's not good to see those numbers that are coming out of Pennsylvania and Ohio against Romney's interests, politically and otherwise.
Yeah, and Romney's looking, I mean, not Romney, but Obama's looking, President Obama's looking really good in Ohio with, as from here I have on the ticker tape, just popped out 55%. With a million people voting, but only 8.6 of the precincts reporting. So he should walk away with that, and I will go ahead and say that. And Romney, though, you know, Mr. Edwards, in the Bible Belt, well, let's start with North Dakota. He's got 58.1% with only 1.4 of the precincts reporting, and we're going to go down South Dakota. Romney has 63.8%. Obama's at 34 with only 1.4% reporting.
Okay.
Nebraska, Romney has 65% with 1.1% of the precincts reporting. And we'll go down to Kansas. Kansas, it looks like 57.1% it is with 1.9% of precincts reporting. And we'll skip right down, just heading south to Oklahoma, where Romney is in the lead 30-plus points with 69.3%. And Texas with 57.7% with 2.5% of the precincts reporting. At this time. And I find this kind of hard to swallow. New Orleans, Louisiana, Romney is ahead, 62.8%, but only 0.2% of the precincts have reported at this point. So it's very interesting to kind of see the dynamics of what's going on here in this election, the different states and what's happening. And another thing I find shocking, you know, North Carolina has 15 electoral votes, and Romney's, whatever, try to call it, for Romney with 50.4%. But, you know, we have 44.6% of the precincts reporting. And in Virginia also, Romney with 53.6%. And you went all well, – you have went through this, Mr. Edwards, but what I'm doing is I'm just – as I get updates here, I'm just going to throw it out there and see what we can do here. And, again, those phone lines are open if you want to make comments about where you voted at today, how what the atmosphere was like to our domestic international listeners. Again, that number is 877-537-2878. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Mr. Allen, very quickly, since you've been talking, projected as of this very moment, 148 electoral, 153 Romney. President is closed to within 5 electoral votes per se, based on what is out there. That makes it extremely close. I got a call out of Missouri this afternoon around 2 o'clock. Bloggers there, conservative bloggers, were already saying that Romney would had won the presidency 53-47, you know, in an attempt to keep a lot of African Americans and other voters away from that. Heitkamp, by the way, Heidi Heitkamp leading the Senate race in North Dakota. That's very interesting. These are interesting numbers at this particular point. Our projection here, Studio B, is that there was thinking that Romney would be giving us kind of a better overview at this particular hour, if you will, about 15 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. That would be happening. By the way, Democrats appear to have will we be retaining their Democratic seat in the state of New York, their Senate seat, as well as our Amy Klobuchar being projected the winner for the Senate seat here in Minnesota.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Minnesota right now. Betty McCullough, it looks like, they have zero reporting, but I don't think they've uploaded. There has to be something there. And in the 5th Congressional District between Congressman Keith Ellison and Chris Fields, we have, according to, I'm waiting for a ticker tape to come out, so I went back online, and I'm showing 0-0. You know, you have the race in the 1st District with Tim Walz, who's the incumbent, and Alan Quist. Not showing any numbers. In the 2nd District, we know we have John Klein and Mr. Mueller. And then in the 3rd District, we have Paulson and Barnes. No numbers yet. And I'm just kind of looking around here.
6th District, everyone across the country has been asking me what's happening with Michelle Bachmann, who became very quiet by and large during the more intense national debate. Are there any numbers on the 6th? I imagine the 6th Congressional would be 0.00.
Yeah, that's 0.00 here. We're not having no numbers at this time for that particular race. So I'm.
By the way, projected winner in Indiana. By the way, Mitt Romney. He's the projected winner there, if you will. Numbers are staying pretty consistent. 153, 148 on Electoral College. Projected winner, Mitt Romney, in Kansas, which is not surprising. Kansas has always been pretty much of a Republican-leaning state, very conservative. And as you said earlier, part of the Midwest Bible Belt, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and down into Texas, if you will. President up by 168,000 in Ohio.
Yeah, we have actually no numbers yet on the same-sex marriage, and also, it's funny, Ms. Edwards, it changed from the same-sex marriage amendment to the same-sex marriage ban listed on here, and now the voter ID. No numbers as yet. So
numbers. Isn't that interesting? By the way, Florida down to about 1,100-vote difference. They're maintaining too close to call. A lot of skullduggery going on in Florida, so that'll be interesting. How that plays out, particularly with absentee ballots being found in garbage dumps and et cetera. Satellite continuing to indicate President Barack Obama, in fact, 68-30 in Pennsylvania. Got to tell you, that's a surprise for me here. All the rhetoric I'd heard, I thought that Willard, Mitt Romney, was going to be much more competitive. And though it's still early, I'm sorry, Ms. Yeah. Allen, I mean, we don't. It's still early. Virginia, Romney is ahead by about 73,000. But as we reported at the top of the program, election officials in Virginia indicating the polls will stay open as long as there are people who have been identified as being in the line and voting could go on until 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 10 o'clock our time here in the Midwest.
Yep. And GOP takes North Carolina governor's race. Democrats take New Hampshire, according to Political right now. And so I'm waiting for that to load, and let me just get back here to the switchboard. Again, feel free to call in those in the chat room. Just drop us a line, and we'll go ahead and we'll take the calls. And so, they are behind Mr. Edwards on updating the electoral votes, because I'm showing here again from CNN, 123 electoral votes for Obama and 152 for Mitt Romney.
We're showing out of satellite, 148, 153, Romney. Yeah, you're right. At some point or another, they've even lost an electoral vote, you will. President still up by 100,000 in Ohio. And so that race technically should be said almost too close to call. I mean, only 100,000, if you will. It is close in Colorado, a little surprise in Colorado. 32% of the vote in, president up by about 80,000, which is kind of a surprise, kind of a surprise. President running very strong in Denver and Aurora, Colorado, if you will, Colorado Springs and Bob Pueblo. It's interesting because I was hearing so much conversation with Rush Limbaugh and others over the last 72 hours that it would be a landslide for Mitt Romney. He's projected as the winner also in South Dakota and South Carolina, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm looking at the map here. And Wyoming now. Romney wins North Dakota, 3 electoral votes.
3, right.
Romney wins Georgia, 16 electoral votes.
I just can't understand the Atlanta connection. I just don't understand a better turnout of voters in Atlanta.
Yeah, and Romney wins North Dakota, 3 electoral votes, going back and forth here. So, yeah, I'm just looking at this national map here and kind of seeing what's going on. And we might have something out of Nevada here shortly. Right now it's zeros. But let me go back and check out Minnesota, updated 22 minutes ago. So they're updating this online every, like, 22 minutes or so. So we'll go back and forth and also watch that satellite feed.
Okay. Virginia, Romney still up by about 70,000, a couple percentage points. So that's interesting. What's key in Virginia is how much of the votes have been counted in northern Virginia in close proximity to the capital. In other words, Alexandria and up to that area or on the other side of the Potomac. How much of that vote has been counted? It'll be very interesting to see, as well as the vote around Richmond and Virginia Beach, Newport News. Virginia Beach, Newport News, as you know, as a former military man, has a strong contingent of military and veterans, particularly Navy, with the very large Atlantic Fleet being anchored there
in Virginia Beach
and Norfolk. Yeah. Okay. No change at this point in the electoral piece, if you will. Doesn't seem to be any major upsets, Mr. Allen, at this very hour as it pertains to any of the Senate races. A little bit more difficult to keep up with the House races, if you will. I think everybody's kind of watching because I don't think there's enough ground for the Democrats to win and pick up to take back control of the House. A couple of losses on the Democratic side could create a problem in retaining a majority in the Senate. But I don't see anything right now.
No.
Are you seeing anything in our what are the ticker tapes saying? Anything?
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything as far as that level. It's just reporting presidential race numbers. That's it. And I am actually going to again, do a little search here around on the AP and on CNN and Politico and see what they're doing. But like I said, Mr. Edwards, both of them, they're updating every 22 minutes, it looks like here.
Okay.
So we're probably not going to get anything here for the next 5 or 10 minutes.
By the way, we have shortwave on also, getting feeds in on that. Interesting, some of the observation from the foreign press, particularly the European and Asian foreign press, who have taken a great interest in this presidential race. By the way, I got to tell you, the Chinese are not big fans of Mitt Romney.
No, not at all.
By the way, you know, they are in the process of selecting their new political leader for the next 10 years in closed session, and that's really going on right now. But it's interesting, the foreign press, what the foreign media is saying with respect to this election and their comfort level of who it is will serve for the next 4 years. That's very interesting. Venezuela, by the way, just as an aside, Venezuela laughing because the Venezuelan Chavez is saying that there is evidence that the United States tried to tamper with his successful reelection for another 6 years. There in Venezuela, information coming out of Caracas, Venezuela, accusing the United States of attempting to tamper with the election there in Venezuela a couple weeks ago. So everybody's now in position taking their shots, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're taking their shots, if you will. No change, no cause. Oh, okay. Give that number out again, Ms. Farr.
Okay.
Just Alan, maybe some folks will call in. We've got a lot of activists out there. I know they've been working. Let me say again, the polls have closed here in Minnesota, and so we should be getting a little better tally. What was your feedback, Mr. Allen, on the two major constitutional amendments?
Well, at 3:30 today, I had some poll watchers report to me that they were going to go out and try to get out to vote some more. Well, people were telling me they were going to go try to get out to vote some more because it was at a dead heat. It was neck and neck. And so they were pushing people to get out and vote no, and that they were worried at this point. And there's a couple people saying that it might, vote yes might take it. And if that is the case, then, we're going to get back to some local stuff here in the Twin Cities that we're going to have to investigate and find out who these community organizers are and who are these people getting, these $5,000 checks to tell their congregations and their followers to what to vote, how to vote, and when to vote. And if this is not successful, there's going to be a lot of questions, I guess, is what I'm seeing, Mr. Edwards. And also, I need to throw this in there, too. If you live in the state of Minnesota, more particularly the city of Minneapolis, there was an event made at the last minute for a bunch of, they wanted the African-American community to go down to Elixir and party during the results here coming out after 8 o'clock. And I find that highly problematic, with the point is that, the best that Color the Vote, Impact Minnesota, and some of these other organizations could do is go frequent a nightclub and get their drinky-to-drink on, as they say. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. That's not voter education. It never has been voter education. And shame on those who are participating in that and sending people down, to a nightclub to act like, they're political activists, community organizers, because that's not the case. That doesn't happen. And again, that number here is 877-537-2878. Again, toll-free number is 877. Again, let me start again, 877-537-2878. And our phone lines are open. Mr. Edwards.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of discussion going on about the economic system. We're looking at satellite here. People are in favor of folks having wealth and et cetera, but they're also in favor of a fair distribution. Did you kind of get the feeling with these constitutional issues that we really made sure that we stayed away from some of the more important and mundane issues, particularly facing groups of people, if you will?
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, Mr. Edwards, because this was a brilliant plan if it was a plan, okay? Because in this voting cycle, there are issues that are related to certain ethnic populations, middle class, as in jobs, economic development, business startup. I mean, just a lot of different things. And normally you'd have a group that was concerned about economic development, jobs, and unemployment. But this voting cycle, that took a back seat to these amendments. And the people out in the street that would actually normally not say anything anyway took the battle cry out into the streets, vote no, vote no, vote no. And I said, now, wait a minute. And I had to stop one of them. She's a nice girl. She's my friend on Facebook. I say hi to her. I don't have anything bad to say other than I asked her one day. I says, well, why would I vote no? Can you explain it to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said, well, if you vote, you have to vote no on the voter ID because that's going to disenfranchise black people. I said, okay, how? She says, well, a lot of us don't have ID. And I said, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have money to get the ID. Well, I says, well, why don't they have money? And how would it disenfranchise us?
Mm-hmm.
And so she got really frustrated with me because I was having that conversation with her, and I just, you know, you got to see what people are made of. And I wanted to take her down to the root core. And at the end of the conversation, I mean, she was highly upset with me because I had questioned her. Actually, what I did, Mr. Edwards, was made her really think about what she's telling other people to do, because I explained to her in detail that we, and I'm speaking of Minneapolis in particular, more in particular North Minneapolis, more specifically the African-American population, we can't get any more, well, we can, but we're already disenfranchised by the current political plantation, especially the political plantation of the DFL here, because they will promise you, like Mark Dayton in 2011, Governor Dayton had the economic summit in North Minneapolis. He promised a lot of things.
March 30th, 2011, you're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm.
And some people might have benefited from that. But that person that lives on the corner of Glenwood and Morgan or Glenwood and Penn, their houses look the same for the last year. And so with that said, what's really happening here? Are we taking into account all these promises? And one thing today I put on my Facebook page, I says, for President Obama, I'll take an order of hope and change with a side order of optimism. But I'm going to go to the polls locally, and I'm going to vote awake.
Okay.
I'm not going to vote with my eyes closed. I'm going to say, okay, there's Congressman Ellison there. Okay? Why am I going to vote for Congressman Ellison? And all I can remember is like last week or the week before last, Mr. Edwards, when I was standing outside the Minneapolis Urban League where Congressman Ellison's office is,
mm-hmm.
he walked out of the office. I said, hello, Congressman Ellison. He didn't even look at me. Just gritted his teeth, got in Mike's car, and drove off.
Wow.
Now, I am one of his constituents. I live in the 5th Congressional District.
Mm-hmm.
If you treat me like that, marketing says that you've done that to 250 more people.
Right, right.
And if those 250 people have had the same experience, and some people on Facebook and other, I talk in the public sphere say that, hey, this has happened to them too. So am I going to vote for him? Now, the alternative is a Republican candidate. He happens to be a brother, okay? So it's a hard decision because, A, you don't really like the attitude that Congressman Ellison seems to have. And people told me matter of fact, I had a conversation the other night with a candidate who ran right before the primaries for a particular position. And she said that people are tired of this attitude, this patronizing toward constituents in the 5th Congressional District. And she's an African-American woman, very intelligent, PhD. She says when black people, especially black elected officials, start acting like they're better than white people, we have a problem. And I says, wow, you really took it there. She says, yeah. She says she has great issue with Congressman Ellison, his attitude toward African-American women, especially those running for office, which he and State Representative Bobby Joe, who will be Senator Bobby Joe tomorrow morning for the state of Minnesota, 59, they never went through a endorsing process of endorsing another candidate. But yet we have, you know, Bobby Joe will walk in because he didn't have anybody running against him for Linda Higgins' old seat. Then we have Linda Higgins, who's been over north. She's like a relic. She's going to be trying to beat Blog Yang. And I've just got my fingers crossed because I think the only ray of sunlight out of this whole thing locally here is that Blog Yang might pull it off. Don't know.
I monitored a number of the precincts, polling places in North Minneapolis, and I saw a large number of Asians. In fact, I saw a large number of people of color that was refreshing, and I mean a large number in some of the precincts, particularly in North Minneapolis, that have been so maligned as being non-functional with respect to getting out the vote. And that was refreshing because, as an example, in the so-called newly created precinct that is Phyllis Wheatley, at six, they had already processed 1,000 voters, which is enormous when you talk in terms of precinct. It usually averages around 250.
Wow.
And the lines were still at 6 o'clock, at 5:30 actually, were still out the door. I mean, people standing in the mist, if you will. Some people bringing babies, baby carriages, and et cetera. I mean, folks, there weren't the, you know, excuses this time. I mean, you know, can't find a babysitter, you know, don't know how to get there. It's clear that somebody did do a job. As it pertains to most of Minneapolis's communities of color, and that means everybody from the brown to the black to the yellow, quote. And I talked to one of the election principals, if you will, and when we discussed this number of 1,000 at the precinct at Phyllis Wheatley as an example, parking lot, by the way, at UROC, you know, all three parking lots were filled to capacity, cars all up on the residential street, and just two blocks down the street at the senior high rise, lines snaking all the way through the lobby, almost out the door. And this is very positive, Mr. Allen. This is very, very positive. I think this may be the thing that catches a lot of the conservatives off guard, because one of the things that I saw this afternoon in my going back and forth, also monitoring the suburban arenas, is that a lot of people laid in the cut and went in and registered right at the polls. And,
wow,
you know, there
incredible.
Had never been a projection about, well, how many people will probably register on election day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here in Minneapolis, I can tell you, the numbers are beyond the normal, if you will. A lot of people, man. I mean, a lot of people came in and registered on Election Day right at the polls.
Hey, Mr. Harris, I'd like to give some of the listeners locally and internationally some history. When you speak of UROC, the University of Minnesota's Northside Hub in North Minneapolis on Penn and Plymouth, people vote there now, and it's kind of a small place, but before that it was at the Urban League across the street, the Minneapolis Urban League.
Yes, it was.
And in 2009, it transferred over to UROC when UROC opened, because the Urban League, and I've heard this from the city of Minneapolis, the election office down there on the first floor in City Hall, simply because that they did not submit some paperwork.
Is
and
that
so
right?
Now, yes.
Okay.
And so I know that it moved over to UROC. It was really convenient. And, you know, some of this stuff, Mr. Edwards, we know is by design. So, you know, kind of took the mix out of there. Plus, I had a little problem, too, with it being in the Urban League because Congressman Ellison's office is right there. You know?
Yeah, there may have been enough of a protest about that. And, of course, for conservatives like yourself and others, there could seem to be a valid, I hate to use the word legitimate like that, but clearly it was valid, legitimate, and that did raise some questions. But I can tell you the parking lots out there around the UROC were just absolutely packed, and I mean for hours, if you will. I heard some on-air personalities saying that they were being told that the voting lines had shrunken, et cetera.
They
must have been talking about the suburbs or somewhere, because in the inner cities of Minneapolis, people were out there and they were waiting their turn to vote. And in fact, the wait at some locations was up to and better than about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's a long time. Yeah, I this morning, Mr. Edwards, I went to vote and I went over and renewed my driver's license. The whole thing took me 15 minutes max.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I did have to take a new picture and do all that stuff. But the lines at the voting polls out where I vote at were just minimal. I mean, it was really nice to get in and out. And, I mean, you hear all this, oh, they're going to be long and you're just going to have to wait. And, you know, that's another scare tactic. And, you know, I actually posted my ballot. I took a picture of who I voted for and posted it online. And, of course, I had some people say, oh, you know, that's illegal. That's a felony.
Only in Wisconsin, I understand.
Only in Wisconsin, yeah.
And
you have to correct those people because they're using their different tactics and, you know, what they choose to do. And I just find that really strange that people would go that far just to, you know, leave a message and call you up. And I have actually understood that someone tipped me off that was in a cubicle at a particular place that I used to frequent, that someone called the authorities and said that Don Allen of IBNN has posted his ballot on his Facebook.
Is that right? That information came out of, unless you're prepared to say, kind of snitching you out kind of thing. Wow.
Yeah.
And only problem is, they said it's not illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you this question, Don. You're thinking as we wait for if there's any calls, any questions, any reflections from around the country. What do you think the backlash is going to be if both of these constitutional amendments fail? Let's do it in the reverse, because the Republicans, I mean, come on, put a lot into making this move, though, as I said earlier in this program, it also took away from significant issues such as employment, economic opportunity, things like that. What do you think the quote-unquote backlash is going to be?
I think there's going to be some serious questions as to, especially in inner cities around the country, as to the capacity of how the process was done to get the vote no out, how many forms were held. I think, you know, I mean, we had talked about this in a production meeting for a minute or two, and I mean, we have to take a serious look at those who are out there in our various communities, especially minority ethnic communities, and who are community organizers and what they are organizing, what process they use. Because based on the money that was raised by Minnesota United for Families and other groups here in town and across the country, that, you know, this should have been a slam dunk. You know, no should have won the minute the polls closed on, you know, here in the Twin Cities and on the East Coast. But, you know, right now there's no numbers. So we do have the third, by the way, Mr. Edwards, we do have the third district of Minnesota in Paulson and Barnes. Paulson is expected to take that right now. He has 58.4%. He is the incumbent, Republican incumbent, and it's kind of hard to beat him up there in the third district.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And no numbers on Michelle Bachmann and Graves, but, you know, I don't want to speculate right now. I want to see some numbers. And Chip Kravac and
Nolan.
Oh,
that's a brutal one there. Let's talk about that a little bit. That eighth has become a brutal. Now, that was one that caught the conservatives off guard, because what organized labor did do is that they really poured a lot of money into basically a congressional race. Chip, if you will, I just think he caught a incumbent who people felt had gotten a little tired and thread-worn in Overstar, if you will. And I remember some conversation on our blog radio program a couple years ago before the 2010 election about how Overstar kind of was non-responsive. In fact, if I remember correctly, he went and had his assistant go get Representative Ellison to come up and talk to the colored guys. That went out. I think that goes back to people. I think it was Lenny Chisholm from out of Minnesota was one of those that was in that meeting and talked about it over the air. So if anybody questions the authenticity, you can always call up our programs, if even previous programs, via the blog radio archives, if you will. I well remember that conversation with Mr. Chisholm and how offended he was at what Overstar did. But then, like I said, 6 months later, Overstar was knocked out of the box. But going back to Chip, you know, the 8th Congressional has always been seen as a Democratic enclave, if you will. And it's a big district, if you will. Key city there, of course, is Duluth. But they have really gone after him, and my projection was that they were going to knock him out of the box. Mm-hmm. And it looks like that may be it. Any figures out of the 8th here in Minnesota?
No figures as yet. But we
By the way, that's right. That's a slow process because, excuse me. First of all, it's a big area physically, and a lot of those ballots have to be hand counted. And they have to be brought down to the central polling place or the central counting facility, and they have to be hand-counted. So they could be midnight before or tomorrow morning before you get the count out of the 8th Congressional District here in Minnesota. Yeah, I have to keep that in mind.
And also I'd like to say that the smoking ban in South Dakota passed. actually, that was North Dakota, excuse me. They had a smoking ban, won by 66%.
Is that right? Okay.
I'm looking at ballot measures right now. Let me just go to Minnesota and see if we have any update there yet. On the ticker tape, we are looking at that. Okay, nothing in. Nothing in on the same-sex marriage and the voter ID. I'm looking all across the state of Minnesota right now here on the screen and the monitor. Nothing in as yet. So it is kind of early, and they're getting everything calculated, but we don't have anything right now. I'm very interested about the congressional race in the 5th Congressional District and other places, and I'd like to see what's happening there.
Yeah, well, that is a little surprising. Of course, again, I start to get a little nervous when you get an hour after the polls, particularly with all the electronics and et cetera, allegedly, and you haven't been able to start giving people a good count, if you will. When one starts to get a little concerned about what the heck is going on. Like I said, the voter turnout in the central city, the urban vote, as we know the code word is for. I got to say, I repeat myself again what I said about 15 minutes ago, Don. Tremendous surge, just a tremendous number of people of color, Asians, Latino, Hispanic, Mexican, and blacks, if you will. And, I mean, they were out there. And when you see those kinds of numbers, it could make a difference. You know, I've said to you before that it was the 8,000 votes, black voters that came out of nowhere that actually put Mark Dayton over the top to win that very, very close election in 2010. It was the black vote in this state that put Mark Dayton into the governor's seat. And could be interesting as we talk. By the way, numbers haven't changed with respect to electoral, 158, 153. Data continue to come in. Looking at Florida, Virginia, and Colorado, Mr. Allen, as we speak, coming in via the satellite connection we have. Also, I assume you're seeing the same thing on the ticker tape, or have they brought it up to date?
No, they have not as yet. But we are showing, again, back in Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar is expected.
She's projected winner, yeah. We said that about a half hour ago.
Yeah, right now 67.5% with 4% of the polls reporting, and Court Bills is a lagging way behind with a 28.9%. And so Michael Calvin, 0.5% with 356 votes, is at the bottom of the barrel there.
Okay. And that is not too close to call.
No, that's, we don't have to even
comment
at all.
Yeah. Amy Klobuchar has been returned to a second term as United States Senator from the state of Minnesota. Elizabeth Warren, leading Scott Brown in, and she is the projected winner. 38% of the precincts reporting, but she is the projected winner in Massachusetts. That would be a seat that the Republicans would lose, if you will. That'd be interesting. Interesting race, Indiana. 70% of the vote. Democrat is leading 48-46. That means it's still too close to call, but that's a pretty good showing by the Democratic challenger in Indiana based on the projection of that all candidates were going to be able to ride in on the coattails of Willard Mitt Romney, challenger for presidency of the United States. Numbers have changed, Mr. Allen. 162-153, President Barack Obama now in the lead as it pertains to the Electoral College. 162-153 just broke on the screen. I notice a more rapid fluctuation here with respect to the numbers. Are you picking that up also? Numbers are getting better, more timely crunched, if you will. Okay. Let's take a look from the top of the nation down around. Looks like no problem in Maine, no problem in Vermont, New Hampshire, I don't think so either. Massachusetts, which is Mitt Romney's home place. That's interesting. New York president has apparently won that. Looks like he's going to win New Jersey. Looks like he's won Connecticut. Rhode Island. Okay, Rhode Island. Pennsylvania, as we said, which seems to be a surprise. Also president in the lead in New Jersey, if you will. Haven't seen anything on Delaware, but one thing about Joe Biden, wherever he's located, his constituency is going to follow him. So the president's got Delaware. President projected winner in Maryland, if you will. Of course, he clearly won the District of Columbia and its three electoral votes. And the rest of it is still up, except for South Carolina, projected for Mitt Romney, if you will. Florida, looks like Mitt is up maybe 17,000, 18,000, but it's fluctuating.
Well, I just have a new update for Florida. Obama is 49.7 and Mitt Romney is 49.4. With 84.8% of the precincts reporting. So
84%? Wow. Yeah. We could have another chat in Florida.
Yeah, someone didn't punch that out all the way. but
49.7, 49.4. Yeah. Wow, that's absolutely a dead heat. Maybe they'll find some more of those absentee ballots that they found in an alley in a Florida city earlier this morning or whatever.
Mr. Edwards, we have a caller calling.
Okay, let's get them. Let's get them, John. Election night.
Okay, well, we're waiting for. Yeah, go ahead and call back. That was. I'm going to get her to call back here. This was comedian Karen J. Larson. She's going to be calling right in shortly here. I just got a message from her. We've been waiting for her. She had dinner. We let her have dinner. We didn't give her any pressure. And so she's going to call back here in a second or so. And then I'm going to get her right on the air. And then we're going to get kind of a lighter side of this election.
Okay.
Oh, but we can continue here. She's going
to. Oh, by the way, independent in Indiana, by the way, a guy by the name of Andrew Horning, 118,000 votes. He has really thrown a monkey wrench in the race there. In Indiana, satellite tape is saying that basically the Republicans felt that he was thrown into the race to create a problem, and that 118,000 votes right now that he's sitting on, it basically 90,000 of that should have been going to the Republican, blah, blah, blah. That's interesting because there had been not a lot of discussion about any independent creating any problem in what were considered to be those safe red states.
Here we go, Mr. Edwards.
All right, let's get her in.
We have live on the air with us comedian Karen J. Larson. Karen, how's it going?
Hey, is this Don?
This is Don, and I'm my co-host, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards, on the studio.
Karen, how you doing?
Hi, Ron.
All right. Go ahead,
so?
Don. You talk to her. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just want her to come in and tell us your thoughts, you know, and you can take it where you want to, just about this election cycle, what's going on, and Obama's creeping up on Romney in Florida, which wasn't supposed to happen, and we have no results here locally yet. I'm kind of upset about that. What's your take?
I know. What's the deal? Like, nobody's reporting in Minnesota?
I have nothing online.
Dang. I mean, because, I mean, I know I had quite an eventful day going to the voting booth, but
well,
I don't know that. Well,
okay.
Well, I showed up, right, and I cast my vote for Obama, and I voted no twice. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but, you know.
Each their own. That's what the democratic system's about. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I voted no twice, and then I turn it over, and it's like all of these, they want us to vote for the incumbent judge, and they're not even running against anyone else.
Yeah, you saw that too.
And I'm like, screw this. I'm just wrote in people, you know, like your mom, these nuts, you know. Gray Poupon,
okay.
Big Bird, you know, it's like how stupid.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So
I wrote my name in for the soil conservationist person. Because there was only one guy running, and I didn't like his last name, so I said, well, I'm just going to write my name in here because, you know, even though the judges are like, you never want to be in front of them. And if you are in front of them, I want to be able to say, hey, I voted for you, dude. Because, you know,
yeah. I didn't know who any of those guys were, so.
Yeah, well,
like, you know,
all,
this is my time to have fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're all incumbents, though, that's which is interesting, but I kind of wonder why you have to do it. I took the time to you know, write into the space, if for no other reason, just the principle of executing the vote. But I thought that was really, you know, somewhat ridiculous. They could have found it. You know, when you're an incumbent, you're unchallenged, it doesn't make any difference. You can't lose the election.
Right.
I mean, you know.
I know, but it's just like, why do we even have to fill this out?
Yeah, I know.
But
well,
if you don't fill it out all the way, then it doesn't count, right?
No. If you just mark one part of it, the presidential race, it counts. The machine
tags.
Oh,
it still counts? Okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure. That's why
I
filled it in anyway.
Yeah, what happens is in some states there is a process in which it would indicate no vote. And, you know, in other words, let's say for one of those judges, there were 125,000 no votes, but it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because by law, once your name is on the ballot and there's no opposition, then you have succeeded yourself.
I guess some of my fans actually wrote me in for the judge positions.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
By the way, though, you know the secret on that is that, and they know that, if you are not a legal practitioner or an attorney, let's say that you won an upset. Let's say that, that you know, 70,000 of your people wrote in your name and the incumbent judge only got 60,000.
Uh-huh.
You still, by law, would not be able to take that judgeship.
I know. I know. It's just, you know, being silly.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
So then
you know how like some people get those covers when they go to put the thing in the slot, you know, the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
So everyone had them except for I didn't get one. So I'm looking around and everyone's trying to read the back of my sheet because I wrote in answers.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, well, ain't this a bitch? This is just like high school, you know, where all the white kids are trying to cheat off the Asians. Look at my paper and stuff. I don't know.
I'm surprised they didn't give you a yellow cover. They're supposed to do that just for that purpose, so that people can't look over your shoulder.
I know, and they didn't.
Is that right? Wow. Wow. Okay.
We need to go back there and throttle those folks or figure out who didn't give you the cover. But you were just talking about the judges, and I was trying to finish in. You know, I'm not a comedian, but I try to be one. So
okay.
But here goes my thing for the year right here. Okay. The judges, you know, I really respect them. That's why I color them all in, even though no one's running against them. And because when I go to see a judge, I want justice, you know. And what happens usually is I get put in jail, and that's all I see is just us.
The African American point of view, Don. That's priceless. The African American point of view, just us.
Yeah,
way to
right
reinforce the stereotype, Don.
Thank you. Thank you. Good looking out. Yeah. Thank you very
much. Okay, so there's like on Bing, there's like live election results, and it says Obama's got 158 electoral votes. Romney has 154. But then if you look at on MSN, it shows Romney leading. So I don't really know what's going on. Do you?
Well, what's Romney's number? Yeah. That's the key. What number does he have on MSNBC?
Let me go look quick. I was like, wow.
Yeah. It would be the largest number, would be the most current.
Well, his is 153 on MSN.
Obama's is 158.
On the other
one. I'm sorry. Obama's
on,
is now 162.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at live satellite feed. And, in fact, that number, 162 to 153, has been up for about 14 minutes. So, Obama has gone ahead on the electoral vote. You have remember, the West is not in yet. So you've got, it appears that California is clearly in Obama's column. Oregon probably will be. Washington looks like it could be. The only state that they'll be able to play with will be Nevada. By the way, satellite is indicating that Mitt Romney is quote unquote won Montana's three electoral votes.
I mean,
by
do
the
you
way,
guys think
you're absolutely correct. Latest information: president up by 42,000, Mr. Allen, in Florida. He's up by 105,000 in Ohio.
Mr. Edwards, we might have an upset in the 5th Congressional District if this keeps going. Let me pull this up real quick because I was shocked. In the 5th Congressional District, you have Keith Ellison with 58.9 and Chris Fields with 41.1 with only 2.7% of the precincts reporting.
Yeah, Don, I know you're,
I'm excited.
You're pulling for him, but I got to tell you, that's still a long ways. That's a tough number. If he was around 46-45%, I would say, uh-oh, could be trouble. But we'll tell. What's the percent in? You say the percent is what?
2.7% reported.
Yeah, but see, the thing is you don't know what precincts those are out of. Normally those would be out of the self-stocking precincts, which would be favorable to Mr. Fields. It'll be interesting. Take a look at it. We'll be off the air by then. You take a look at it about an hour from now.
Yeah,
but I'm puzzled about the constitutional amendments. While we have our guest on, there's no numbers at this point.
Well, I'm just showing.
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything, but also Michelle Bachmann at 52.4%, Jim Gray is 47%, Peterson in the 7th District 61%, Nolan is whooping Kervac. Nolan has 50.8 and Kervac 49.2.
That's still not enough, but that's what the Democrats want to see in the 8th. But now that's close. That's still close. But Michelle not doing as well as all that money that's been poured into campaign would dictate.
No. Michelle's actually ahead of the game. She is. Let me get back there real quick. Michelle is Congresswoman Bachmann is where's she at here? She has 52.4%, and Jim Gray's has 47.6, and that's only with 3.2% of the precinct reporting, according to CNN and Politico and the AP right now.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the ballot measures. Same-sex marriage, no, by 60.5%, and voter ID, no, with 57.5. So it looks like the same-sex marriage gets the big vote no, wins. And then voter ID, no, wins again there.
By the way, Electoral College now shows a 162-162 tie, but that's based on those couple of numbers we saw come out of Montana and Wyoming, the smaller numbers. But they're 162 each now. As it pertains to that. Mitt Romney up by about 10,000. I take that back, about 50,000 in Florida, according to the latest numbers just in the last 45 seconds. Yeah, Florida could go another chat, if you will. All right, Don, anything else for our guests?
Yeah, Karen, I appreciate you calling. Maybe we can have you on again and kind of talk about, are you doing anything anywhere you want to talk about, here before we let you go?
You mean, yeah, well, I have my weekly webcast show on Syndicate Radio TV called Gook Talk Live. Gook Talk Live, and it's from 7 to 9 on Wednesdays, although this Wednesday I think they'll just air repeats because it's my daughter's birthday.
I'll tell her happy birthday.
Yeah. I will. Well, yeah, give her a shout-out on the air. It's Abigail Marie.
Abigail Marie, all right.
Yeah, she's
happy
turning
birthday,
17.
Happy birthday, Abigail Marie. All right.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in. Greatly appreciate it. We'll talk again, and I'll see you all the time on Facebook.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right.
Okay,
all
right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Don, we're down to actually the last, what do we have here, 26 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. The numbers, like I said, Electoral College 162-162, so that's no surprise. By the way, they're showing, of course, Minnesota, Iowa, and Missouri as quote-unquote undecided. You know, they are strongly indicating that President Barack Obama has won Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
They continue to project that he is the winner in Wisconsin. So that's going to be interesting. Jay Nixon in Missouri appears to have won the governorship there, by the way. That will be interesting. He's very popular there. They're showing some stuff. McCaskill. Clara McCaskill is ahead. 55-39 in Missouri. That means that seat, which the Republicans just 4 months ago thought they had until Aiken started talking terms that women had no right to protect their body from rape and incest and et cetera. Yeah, here are the latest, 55%, 39%, Kara McCaskill, 320,225. Woo, that's not good, because old Todd was the darling of the Republicans there for a hot minute until, I don't know, he took too many drinks or had too much sauce. I don't know what happened to him, Don, but he went right over the top.
Yeah, he did.
Now, it's only 20% is in, but that's a clear signal that the incumbent will retain her seat in Missouri, if you will. Electoral still 162-162. Don, any observations as we move towards conclusion?
I am just looking at some of the numbers. Again, I'm stuck in Minnesota. I'm just looking at some of the low voter turnout in the Minnesota 5th Congressional District.
What?
Yeah. And I'm if it looks like, well, it's only 2.7% reporting, but at this time, you know, it's showing like 1,800 for Fields and 2,600 for Ellison. And that's not a huge gap, but it's wide enough just to figure out, like tomorrow, Ms. Edwards, when we get all this information, we're going to crunch it and figure out who actually showed up, because, you know, some areas in the 5th Congressional District have the lowest voter turnout in the country.
Yes, absolutely. And particularly in some of the precincts that I know I monitored this morning and this afternoon in the core city. That is interesting that a three-term incumbent wasn't able to inspire a good, strong voter turnout. Or people went into the voting booths. See, it's not so much a turnout. People went into the voting booths and didn't vote for him or didn't vote for either candidate.
Yeah, I probably didn't vote for either candidate, you know. I mean,
well, that's a silent protest there, isn't it?
Yes. We have a lot of folks out here doing this voter outreach and, you know, this. Well, you know, so they're successful. They passed the vote no. And, so far it looks good. But, you know, it's a hard road to climb. And just the process, you know, one thing, Mr. Edwards, this voting cycle, we had little to no forums after 5 p.m., where working people could actually go and sit there.
Absolutely. We talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah. And I find that highly problematic in the federal election year. And you know, in Minnesota, what, next year, 2013, is the mayor and city council, if I'm not mistaken.
2013 is the local races for the council. That's absolutely correct. And that's going to be interesting, particularly in the 2012. We made sure we stayed away from anything having to do with economic opportunity. projects that would certainly guarantee an infusion of funds, money, capital, and et cetera, into the communities of color. Someone said to me earlier today, and I think you said it earlier on these programs, you know, Penn and Glenwood looks just like it did a year ago, 2 years ago. I mean, you know, after the tornado. I was really and continue to be disappointed that there was no give and take and deep reflection on the economic despair facing African Americans in this state and particularly here in the Twin Cities. Just didn't seem to be something that folks decided they needed to talk about, and I think that's going to be regrettable. Because tempers, if you will, dispositions, if you will, are becoming very testy.
Yes,
very, very testy as people are realizing that they are not anywhere close to being allowed to get a piece of the action, if you will, not even being considered. You know, my flagship is the Viking Stadium here in Minnesota, the what will be the Palace, the People Stadium for the Minnesota Vikings, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But clear indications are that there has been no package that's been able to be put together that will provide a significant opportunity and a mandated is really important opportunity for African Americans to work on that stadium or receive any of the residuals that would come out of that. And, boy, that could have been a hell of an uplift, if you will. Looks like the president has slipped back ahead of Mitt Romney in Florida by about 30,000. Wow. This is a surprise because the Republicans put a lot of money into this Florida situation. And we have plenty of time over our next programs over the next couple of Saturdays to talk in terms of the stadium. I know in our production meetings we've decided that needs to be something that we really wave as a red flag, if you will. But I'm just so disappointed that it just didn't seem to be a part of the dialogue, if you will. You know, yeah. But Don, I don't want you to appear to be a overseer. I understand somebody referred to you in another life as an overseer. That's taking it deep, man.
Yeah, that's taking it real deep. I am the overseer. No, okay, I'll stop the music. But anyway, they just, you know, they want to play and say those type of things. But, you know, that's okay. I mean, I'm just going over in the Studio A here, just looking at some of the national results. And it's hard to call with like 3.5, 18.1. Well, Oklahoma, you have, 54.5 reporting the precincts. And, of course, Romney has taken that.
Right.
And some other key states. But, Mr. Edwards, I'm looking at this map online as you are in your studio on the monitors, and I'm seeing an area that has a lot of minority ethnics, blacks, Asians, Somalians, Cubans, and they're all red states, you know, from Indiana to Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina.
Yeah, all of those went for Romney. Romney has been projected as the winner in all of those states, that particular enclave down through there, which is interesting because, as you just said, there's a tremendous number of African Americans, primarily people of color. In fact, some of those states, there's like North Carolina, there's been a surge in Latino Hispanics. I mean, not by the millions or anything like that, but certainly by 100,000, 120,000, that number, which really, really means that the votes in those states are clearly along racial lines. I'm looking at the map now. West Virginia also, like you said, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and that are. But what's got to be worrying them is that both Virginia and North Carolina cannot be turned red at this particular hour. Looking out to the west, by the way, as we've already projected, I mean, Utah, by the way, we haven't talked much about. Orrin Hatch is able to hang on in Utah, by the way. Orrin was in some trouble out there for a minute, but he's hanging on. And so Utah, Wyoming, Montana, and, of course, the Dakotas, Nebraska, and that Colorado, which should have been in the red column, according to the experts, there seems to be some titanic battle going on there back and forth, so that's not clear. But what they're really watching, of course, is the electoral. Again, we need to explain to those listeners, maybe of the younger generation, that you don't win an election based on the popular vote. In other words, I get 12 million, Mr. Allen gets 10 million, I win, he loses. That's not the way constitutionally it works. There's something called the Electoral College.
Yes.
And each and every state is awarded X number of electoral votes. And you need 270 to win. If you whoever gets to 270 first wins. And we have had some elections in this country in which our the race has taken place, and our the popular vote has been won by one man, and the other man winds up winning because that man won the electoral votes. That's why states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan even, and definitely California are so crucial. Texas is also crucial because it's one of those states, and so is Florida, because it is also based on the population in Florida. What is Florida now, Mr. Allen, about the fourth largest populous state in the United States behind, what, New York, Illinois,
New York,
California, Texas, and then Florida, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Florida.
So
yeah.
That's your and they're talking about it now on a couple of the networks. They're maintaining, by the way, that Mitt Romney has 27 million, Barack Obama 25 million, and about 25.8, Romney 27.2. We've got the networks, if you will, now beginning to raise the question of popular vote over.
Are you back, Mr. Edwards?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah, we had a bump there in Studio A, but we're back. We're back.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to. I'm looking at Utah here. Let me just find it here. Utah. Orrin Hatch, 52.1%, and Howe, 44.5%.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Orrin's back in. He's been able to survive because are you still there, Mr. Allen?
Yes, I am.
A little feedback here.
Yeah.
He was the target of the Tea Party.
Yes.
And the Tea Party tried to knock him out of the box, as they had done with another Utah senator 2 years before. But apparently Orrin was able to hang on, if you will. In fact, his opponent in that campaign, to show you how vicious it got out there in Utah, and, you know, Utah's a good Mormon state, his opponent actually said, why would you want to vote for this man? Because he'll probably be dead before his 6 years are up. Isn't that a heck of a statement?
Oh, that's just mean. That's downright
mean. That is extremely mean. Orrin Hatch's opponent said that about, oh, I don't know, 2 months ago. And, you know, everybody tried to look sideways. And, you know, you didn't see Rush Limbaugh and them commenting on that. But that's quite a statement. I don't know. Is that a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah.
You don't think that Orrin should go hunting with Dick Cheney or go horseback riding?
Oh, no, he should not go hunting with Dick Cheney. No, you get hurt real bad.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, he needs to be real careful on that. Unfortunately, we'll be leaving the air here in another 12 minutes, and so we won't have a chance to really talk in terms of what's happening in the West. Mr. Allen, I don't see any real upsets. Arizona is Arizona. That's going to be Republican. Nevada will be something for the commentators to talk about in the final hour or so before they are allowed to begin to make their projections, if you will. Oregon, Washington, I think, will go Democratic.
Okay, now we're getting some more numbers here on the 5th Congressional District. I think they're going to call it for Keith anyway, because now we have 18.6% reporting, and Congressman Nelson is at 64.2%, and Fields is at 35.8%. And I just predict when this is said and done, Fields is going to be around Barb Davis White's number at 22%, and Congressman Nelson will take the rest. And they did add some more numbers here, though. So we have, 38,700 for Ellison and 21,000 And, you know,
Mr. Fields has garnered 21,000, huh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, back in 2008, Barb Davis White had about, I think it was 72 or 78,000.
That's right, and that's been kind of the figure for that. By the way, Sherrod Brown, winner, looks like the winner in Ohio, Senator Brown, pretty popular out there, beating Josh Mandel, the Republican, 51-44. So that means there's an independent in there somewhere who's picked up about 5% of the counted vote. President Obama, still about a 90,000 ahead of Mitt Romney in Ohio. That begins to become a significant number of votes to pick up when you start getting
into. We have a call on the line here.
All right, let's get it.
They've been holding for a while.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air live with On Point. Masters calling.
Terry.
Who?
Terry. He said Terry. Yeah, what can we do for you, Terry?
Yeah, well, you know, things close to call here. I just want to know what Obama is going to do for black people if he gets in office again, because the rates are, unemployment is very high.
Well, you know, Terry, he's only going to be able to do as much as the Congress is going to allow him to do, like in his first 4 years. Hopefully there will be a greater sensitivity on the Republican side of the aisle, particularly if a couple more of them get knocked off than were projected. What he's going to be able to do for African Americans, you know, I have significant hopes that he will be able to do more than this time around, if he is able to win. I mean, at this point, there's no quote-unquote winner. These are all projections. So I'm hoping that he will be able, because he will be a lame duck president in the sense he will not be able to succeed himself, that he'll be able to take, I don't know, you know, more chances and be a little bit more aggressive with the Republican leadership in both the House and the Senate, maybe get some things done that will help black America. But I don't expect the Republicans and conservatives in this country to reach across the aisle to help, particularly help black Americans. They're already thinking, if they lose tonight, they're already thinking ahead to the by-elections in 2014 until the next election in 2016.
Well, you know, I think Obama needs to go ahead and give the black community in Minneapolis a stimulus, stores like the Empowerment Zone money. Is that money still in effect today, sir, or did Ryback give that to white businesses?
No, obviously he gave it to white businesses, as well as Congressman Ellison has made sure that a lot of the stimulus money that came out of Washington has gone in that direction. There's Mr. Allen has certainly been one. My co-host here has been one who's talked about it quite a bit. Stimulus has definitely not been stimulated into the African-American community by any shape, form, or fashion. And so to your question, it's already self-answered, if you will, when you take a look at the statistics, the data, the numbers, and et cetera. The African-American community continues to be on the bottom of the totem pole. And I think there has to be consequences and et cetera, and the next opportunity for the African-American community will be the city elections next year.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a great thing that the Vikings are getting a new stadium. I think it's a chance for African Americans to get a lot of jobs. I mean, $1 billion is a lot of money.
Absolutely, but the problem is I've been talking about as a journalist. Mr. Allen and I had a chance to meet with the leadership of the Sports Facilities Authority. There's no plan, sir. There's no plan. There's no plan to guarantee African American inclusion on the stadium.
No, let me say, Mr. Irvin, so I can interject real quick. I want to tell you this, our caller, that we, like you said, we met with the officials from the Minnesota Sports Authority and down there, and no one in civil rights, contract compliance, Met Council, Velma Corbell, the Department of Civil Rights, none of them had completed an equity plan, which would have been a plan on how they would include women and minorities in the billion-dollar public works project. It was due June 29th of this year. One has not been done. The last meeting Mr. Edwards and I were at, they said one would be done in a couple months. And so the prime contractors, and I'm just going to step out on the limb here, Mr. Edwards, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the prime contractors, the Vikings, and whoever else can basically hire at levels that they feel like hiring. and at people who they want. There's no enforcement, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so if there's no enforcement, then, you know, it happens to all the other projects here, the Schubert Theater. I don't know if you drive around Minneapolis, but I drive around Minneapolis, and I see a lot of crews out there on the street. And sometimes I pull over and say, well, where are you from? North Dakota, Montana, Iowa. I says, well, where are the people, even the white companies in the Twin Cities? Where are they at? How come they're not out here working? Why are we sending the money, you know, out of the state? So it creates a dynamic that needs to be addressed. And our black organizations do what's called groupthink, where groupthink is bad because nothing ever develops out of it. And one person is usually the lead person, and you have a bunch of people kind of talking in a silo. And so you have organizations like the African American Leadership Forum, Minneapolis Urban League, and a couple other, you know, organizations that should be doing a little bit more. They don't want to push the envelope because of what do they say? We don't want you to burn any bridges, or what's the other thing they always say? Don't you know, upset, and just kind of be relaxed, and you know, they got these social cabals going on rather than anything to effectively address what's happening in the city. So that's my sense.
Well, where's the NAACP, sir? I mean,
the head of the national NAACP has been in town twice, three times, four times in the last month and a half, and he came away saying what we already knew, for those of us that have fought the battles here, is that Minnesota is worse than Mississippi, and that he was shocked at how African Americans were treated here. I have difficulty buying that because I was expelled from the NAACP for life for raising those kinds of questions and trying to move a decade ago the NAACP on the road towards confronting this racism and et cetera. But anyways, the NAACP doesn't have a plan. Urban League certainly doesn't have a plan, even though they're written into the legislation for the Viking Stadium. But they haven't been able to move in any significant direction, if you will. So the so-called black leadership groups, the black ministers and the so-called black leadership alliance and et cetera, I think the Black Leadership Alliance, Mr. Allen and Terry, formed a so-called subcommittee on a Saturday morning to, quote-unquote, look at the involvement in the stadium, if you will, which is about 6 months, 7 months too late, you know, dollar short, you know. But to your question, you know, I don't know. You know, if you can never find out when they're going to have a meeting, maybe you can go to a meeting and kind of ask them. Even the Minority Contractors Association has basically bailed out. And that's
a lot of people have gotten paid for this campaign. A lot of checks have been cashed. And right now, tonight, they're eating filet mignon and expensive dinners and wine, partying it up.
They're down there at Elixir tonight in downtown Minneapolis with those $5,000, $60,000, $200,000 checks. So
yeah. Mr. Allen, sir, you know, talked about that really at the top of the program. I had seen some information on blog sites and et cetera. In fact, they're down there now. You're right. They're down there eating filet mignon and et cetera. But appreciate the call, Terry. We're getting ready to leave the air, but you know, feel free to call us on our regular program on Saturday. You know, we welcome any reflections on this, and I'm listening for the leaders to give us a heads up on when the plans are going to be put in place.
Hey, well, I mean, tomorrow I guess they have a Bobby Joe champion luncheon for Senator. Maybe he'll address some of the issues in our black community.
Well, that would be great. You know, I'd just be dying to hear his take on how we're going to get involved. All right, appreciate it, caller.
Thanks for calling, sir.
All right. All right, Mr. Allen, looks like we're down to the last part. This, is, to me, has been intriguing, and I've certainly enjoyed it.
Yes, I have, too. We'd like to thank all our listeners for listening, and you're listening to On Point with Ronald A. Edwards and myself, Don Allen, broadcasting live from the Apple Studios in downtown Minneapolis, overlooking North Minneapolis, where so far no one over there has gotten a job with the new Vikings Stadium, Target Field, Target Center, and the TGF Stadium. We'll be back Saturday, Mr. Edwards, at
3
p.m. Tune in there, Central Standard Time. Again, thank you, and thanks for voting.
All right.